Well, if you're new here, like Josh said, my name is Derek Van Ruler. I'm the pastor here at Sunbury City Church, and it's my pleasure each week to be able to open up the Word of God with you. And so this week we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 12. And if you don't have a Bible, there should be a Bible underneath a chair around you. If you don't own one, that's actually our gift to you. So you can take that home, because we really want you to read and understand God's Word, because we really believe this is God speaking to us. And, you know, over the last couple months, we've been going through the book of 1 Peter, and we've been talking about how we live for Christ in the midst of a world that is either hostile towards Christianity, or what we are starting to experience is a world that is becoming hostile towards Christ. If you don't think that that's true, just look at the news from this past summer, you know, with the Supreme Court ruling with homosexual marriages, and then look at the outcry against Christians who actually were praying that the Supreme Court would have voted differently. Or simply just talk to your neighbor, and talk to your neighbor about not only just some sort of concept of belief in Jesus Christ, but actually living your daily life for Jesus Christ, and you'll realize that they start to think and act like you're a little bit crazy, that you don't know what you're doing, you're out of touch with society. And so it's important for us to learn to live for Christ in the midst of a world that's trying to push Christianity to the margins. You know, and then we talked a few weeks ago about how church isn't a building or an event that we go to. You know, if you've grown up at all in the church, you've grown up with kind of this mentality that you go to a building, you sit in the same pew each and every week, and somebody goes up on stage and kind of talks about a topic, and you hear that, and then you kind of, after that, you go away and you go out to lunch that day, and you kind of get on with your regularly scheduled life. But what Peter is showing us is that church isn't a building, but rather it's a people. And it's a people that God has saved from living a life that's all about our own pleasure, to be a family that actually gathers together and portrays the excellencies of God to the world through our good deeds. You know, for example, we portray God's patience with us. You know how he is patient with us when we wanted nothing to do with him and we constantly rebel against him, going off in our own direction. And we constantly do dumb things, and we show his patience with us when we're patient with others. When we're patient with others within this church family, or we're patient with others outside of this church family, when people hurt us, and when people do dumb things, and they bring us pain. And so instead of getting angry with them right away, when we love them, when we forgive them, and when we come alongside them to help them to grow and to walk rightly with the Lord, that is showing them the patience that God has given to us. That's showing the world the excellencies of God. And then as we begin to portray those excellencies, begin to portray God to the world, people will see how drastically different our lives are, and they'll begin to ask about the hope that we have, about why we live differently and why we love the way we love and why our lives are so compelling and joy-filled, because they'll start to want that too. And as that happens, even though the world might be hostile towards Christianity and towards Jesus Christ, we will have an opportunity to share with them about the hope of Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ has done and who he is and how that changes our life. You know, the last few weeks then, we've seen Peter kind of take a turn in his letter where he starts to talk about, specifically about how we go to work or how we live in our marriage for Jesus Christ. How we live in such a way that people see and hear about the grace of God. And now today, Peter's going to talk about how we live for God in our everyday life. So in case the last couple weeks you've thought, well, I don't have a job or I'm not married, so this doesn't pertain to me, Peter's going to get down to the nitty-gritty of everyday life and talk about how living for Christ affects each second of every day. And so what Peter's going to tell us today is that we've been blessed to be a blessing in order to obtain a blessing. Let me say that again. We've been blessed to be a blessing in order to obtain a blessing. Now, I know that's a mouthful and it sounds strange, but let me see if this will help. So we're starting to move into the Christmas season, and unless you're Sam's Club or Costco, who's been in the season since August, in the next few days, we're going to start to move into the Christmas season. And for most of us, and I don't know if this was your story, but for me as a kid, I remember being so excited about Christmas. It was one of the best times of the year because I'd get all of these presents under the tree. And if you're like me, every day you woke up with anticipation, wondering what you're actually going to get this year. Are you going to get the new toy? You know, and you keep wondering, you keep hoping. And you know, despite what your parents said, you know, your parents often said, you know, if you're good, you'll get toys. If you're not, then you won't get anything this Christmas. Despite what they said, because despite that, you always ended up with a present, right? You ended up with a present because our receiving presents had actually nothing to do with the good that we did, but actually the love that they showed us. And so it wasn't based on what we've done, but we were blessed because of their love and what they've done for us. But then as we grew up, our parents began to teach us that Christmas and other holidays and birthdays weren't all about getting, but they're actually about giving. And so sometimes maybe your parents would take you to the store and give you a few dollars and help you pick out a present for your sister or your brother or your parents. And at first you didn't really understand, but after some time you began to understand that it was better to give. And now if you're a parent, you've grown up, and now that you have kids, you're almost more excited to go shopping for your kids, right? You're more excited to give them a present, and then when they get the present and they're opening up, you're excited, you're waiting. How are they going to respond when they open this present? It's because you've understood that you actually get more joy out of giving than receiving a gift. And sometimes you actually give because you realize that you're going to get a blessing. A blessing to see your child's eyes light up with excitement when they open their present. And in many ways, that's exactly what happens with Jesus Christ. You know, we've been blessed by God, and now he's teaching us to bless others. That we're not supposed to just sit on this blessing, but we're actually supposed to learn to bless others. And when we do that, we're going to receive a greater blessing, both now and forever. So let's go ahead and read our section today in 1 Peter. It's chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. Peter says, "Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Because to this you are called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." So let's go ahead and look at the first part about Peter saying how we've been blessed. You know, if you were here last week, you remember me talking about how we need to move from being fed on the Word of God on Sunday mornings to feeding ourselves on the Word of God throughout the week and then hold fast to those promises in order to win our spouses to Christ. And so in order to feed ourselves on the Word, we need to understand how to read the Word. In one way, in order to understand a particular passage, one way to understand it is by simply looking at what has happened before or what has happened or what's going to happen after that passage and just look at what the author has said. And if we do that today, we will realize that this section is just building on what Peter has already been saying throughout the whole book. And what he's been saying is that we've been blessed by God. that we've received an incredible blessing. It's important for us to get this, because if we don't, we're going to walk down one of two roads, right? You know, we need to be careful here, because Peter is commanding us to bless others. And if we're not careful, we're going to lean one way or the other. We're going to read this command about blessing others, and we're going to lean towards the way of trying to implement this in our own life, trying to live this out on our own strength, in our own power. And if that happens, if we see that actually happening, where we're living it out perfectly, or what we think is living it out perfectly, we will end up judging other people when we see that they aren't able to live it out, right? Because we're doing it on our own strength. And so we become judgmental to others because we can't figure out, why can't you obey God like I do? Or we lean the other way and we try to do this in our own strength. We try to follow God's commands with our own power, and we realize that we can't. And after some time, we just become discouraged and burned out because we're not able to. That's because we're trying to do something by our human power that can only be done by the power of God. And so before we try to muster up our own strength to bless others who hurt us and insult us, we need to remember the context of this section. We need to remember what Peter has already been saying all along, and remember the past, and remember the very source of our blessing. And that's where Peter says, the foundation and the way in which we are able to bless others is because we have first been blessed by God in incredible ways. Do you understand that? That the foundation, the way in which we're able to bless others, is because we have first been blessed by God in incredible ways. And this blessing is God's great mercy for us. It's His mercy for us, where He caused us to be born again to a living hope through Jesus Christ. And so if you remember, Peter has said that we were lost in futile ways, in wicked ways that our fathers and our parents walked, where they wandered far from God, where we wanted nothing to do with God. We were living as a people without an identity and without a hope. People who were here one day and gone the next, and where we lived in utter darkness and had no idea whatsoever about God. And where we were stumbling over Christ, and when at that point God, through the Holy Spirit, broke through and He opened our eyes to who He was. He brought us from darkness into the marvelous light of God. Peter says that He brought us from being no people to being the very people of God. And then He made us priests, and He gave us this perfect life, Christ's perfect life, in our place, through Christ's blood on the cross. And He made us holy. And He gave us a glorious mercy that we didn't deserve, so that we would inherit an eternal life with God, an inheritance that never dies. And all of this is ours if we simply believe. You know, that's the blessing that we've been given. Family, we need to never forget that we've been blessed immensely by God. You know, Peter isn't telling us that God's given you a penny, now bless other people with $100. He's saying that God has given you trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars of blessing, from a blessing of grace each and every day that we then pour out to other people. I'm not saying he's actually giving us money. I'm using that as an analogy. That's how much grace He's giving us each and every day. He's saying pour out to other people and give out of that. And so then Peter says that we've been blessed in order to be a blessing. And so that's our constant backdrop here, is that we've been blessed. We've been blessed. Okay, now we need to be a blessing. And then Peter starts out in verse 8 saying two things about blessing others. First, he says that we're a family that must have the heart of blessing. Okay, look at verse 8 here with me. Notice that all of these things are heart actions, that they're only actions that can be done by a heart that's been transformed by God. You know, people who don't believe in Jesus Christ can do this for a little bit, but then they top out. And it's not the fullness that God is actually asking here. So this can only be done by a heart that's transformed by Jesus Christ. And so Peter's not giving us this long list of do's and don'ts, although he does give us a quick list, but rather he's focused on the heart because he's probably taken to heart what Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, where he said, "For out of the mouth the heart speaks." Other versions say, "Out of the overflow of the heart the mouth speaks." So Peter is going after the heart. And notice, all of these actions are actions that are to be done in the family of God. You know, Peter calls us here in this list to have brotherly love, meaning that we are to treat one another and love one another like we are actually the eternal family of God. You know, if you've been here at all in the last couple of months, you've heard this idea time and time and time again, where we've been talking about, if God is your father and God is my father, then that makes us family. That makes us brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And we keep talking about that because so often the church doesn't act like a family, do we? Or at least we don't act like a functional family that brings God glory. You know, unfortunately, so often we think about church as just a bunch of individuals who come here on a Sunday and who happen to listen to the same sermon. But if church isn't a building, if it isn't an event, like we said earlier, but it's rather the people of God who show God to the world, then we ought to act like the family we are. We ought to grow in acting like our Father and showing our Father to the world. We got to grow in coming together and loving one another and showing that to the world, because we are the picture of God in the world. Do you ever think about that? You are the picture of God to the world if you believe in Jesus Christ. You know, back in Genesis 1, that was the whole idea of why God created man. We were to be image bearers of God. As people looked at me, they should see God, and as people look at you, they should see God. If you believe in Jesus Christ. And so Peter then goes on to give us this list of traits that our family ought to have. And he says that we need to be like-minded. We need to have the same aim of our heart, which is to exalt and honor and bring God glory in all that we do. And we need to hold the same core truths about Jesus Christ. How he lived perfectly and how he died for our sins and how he rose from the dead to conquer our sin and to give us life with God. But you know, so often, right? So often we end up making other things at the center of the church instead of Jesus Christ. We start to make our pet project or our music style or our ministry style or even a side theological idea or our political views or our theories on life. We start to let those take center stage and cause division over things. And those things will actually distract us from loving God and seeing him work through us in our community. And that's not a love that's going to reflect Christ when we start making our church about those things rather than about Jesus Christ. And so Peter says, have a like-mindedness. And then he moves on and says, be sympathetic, meaning that we need to be sympathetic towards one another. We need to care about the outcome of others in situations. We need not just think about what's best for ourselves, but actually think about how our actions affect other people in the family of God. Or even how our non-actions affect others in the family of God. You know, that's so difficult for us in this iPhone, iPad, I generation, right? Because we think all about us. We live in such an individualistic society that it's all about what I want, I desire. And it convinces me that my decisions affect no one else but myself. And yet, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that our decisions affect the family of God. They affect the community. You know, this past summer, as Alicia and I were starting to think about buying a house and moving, we actually invited a number of people within the family of God here into that conversation. We just laid before them our finances and laid before them a house that we were looking at and just said, if you see anything, please speak up. Because we knew that us buying a house would affect this family. We knew that it could affect us financially. It could affect the amount of time I spend with you. It could affect the amount of time I spend with other people in the community. And so we wanted to make sure that we had wisdom from other people to speak into our decisions, because we knew our decision would affect others. Then Peter moves on to talk about brotherly love, which we already discussed briefly. And then he says that we need to be compassionate. We need to have this compassionate heart where at the deep seat of our actions and deep down inside ourselves, we want others in our family to succeed in loving God and in growing and living for God in the midst of a world that is hostile towards Christ. And so when others experience pain, we come alongside them and we mourn with them. We cry with them. You know, I hope this isn't how you respond. If you see someone else in the family of God experiencing pain, I hope that you're not just standing there and saying, ha, they're getting what they deserve, but that we together would come alongside one another and pray and cry together and say, you are in pain, and so I'm in pain. And lastly, Peter says that we are to have a humble mind. We are to have a lowliness of mind where we think about ourselves less and rather we care and think about others in the family more. You know, where our conversations and our hearts aren't about making much of us, about what we do or how great we are, but rather we are interested in others. We're interested in learning about the stories of others here. You know, I think we may have talked about this one time a few months ago, but one of the things as we talk about being on mission or being missionaries in our community, about loving those within our community, there's six rhythms that help us to live every single day for Christ. And a couple of those rhythms are where we want to learn the stories of other people. You know, everybody has a story, has some sort of life story and journey that they're on. And so we want to learn their story and we want to listen to what they have to say. And that's one of the things that it takes to have a humble heart. But you know what's sad? If we look at this list, we all fail at this list, don't we? We all fail at it. And I know that's true. I know it's true because I know some of us have a hard time being around other people in this church family. We have a hard time with how they act or what they say or do. And so some of us just ignore them or try to move away from them, or some of us talk behind their back and we're unwilling to talk to the person face to face, like we would with a family member. And you know, when we do that, we're acting just like the Pharisees did. You know who the Pharisees were? They were the religious leaders who were judgmental towards others and often opposed Jesus. And when we see other people and how they act and we get frustrated with them and we aren't willing to talk to them, but we talk behind their back and we try to ignore them, we're becoming just like the Pharisees, where we are judging them. We think that we are better than them, and that happens because we've forgotten the blessing that we have from God. We've forgotten all that God has done, and we begin to think that that blessing isn't that big of a deal, or we start to think that we deserve that blessing that God gives us because we're some sort of good person. Look at all that I've done, and so God, you should bless me. So then we become judgmental towards others, and what we really need to understand is that apart from the grace of God in our lives, we would be far worse than the person we don't like. The only reason you have a job is because of God. The only reason you have the skills is because of God. So if you look upon another person judgmentally, you are saying, I am better than you. I am God. And you did not create yourself. God did. So Peter is saying, have a humble mind. Remember the blessing that God has given you. And let's respond out of humility towards others within the family and repent from that self-righteousness and turn to Jesus, knowing that even though you failed and even though I have failed at that list hundreds of times and probably even the last week, Jesus Christ never failed at that list. That brings so much hope for us because he can forgive us, he can change our hearts, and he can give us a heart that wants to bless others. Then Peter moves on to say, secondly, that we're a family that must use words of blessing. He says in verse 9 that the reality is people are going to insult you. They're going to revile you. They're going to say evil things about you because you follow Jesus Christ. Their words are going to be used in such a way to cut you down and try to convince you and pressure you not to follow Christ anymore. And the temptation for us is that we're going to want to respond to them in the same way, right? You know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, how often when people hurt us, our immediate response is to try to hurt them at the same level or even more so that we show and prove to them, you can't hurt me and get away with it. And Peter is just going to say, don't do that, because when we do that, not only are we hurt, but our hearts then become hardened and bitter towards others. And if we're honest, and you know, Peter right here is talking about how the world is going to respond to us, but if we're honest, some of us have experienced this kind of hurt within the church. So that means we need to be extremely careful how we respond to one another, how we talk with one another, so that we can portray God to the world rightly. We can portray to the world what God really is like. Because when we gossip and we talk bad about others, we are telling the world that God is a God that judges. And there's absolutely no hope in the world to overcome that judgment. That he is just a God that hates us, that is mean, that is angry all the time. That has no hope. But we actually serve a God who is compassionate, a God who is merciful, a God who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love for us. And so Peter says, show that God. When we're insulted, when we're spoken evil of others, bless others with our words and with our actions. You know, you can't help but to think that Peter's really simply reiterating what Jesus already told us, right? Jesus said in Matthew 5:44 that we are to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You know, it's this idea that instead of responding out of an evil, unbelieving heart that's putting our hope in ourselves and what others say about us, that we are actually able to put our hope in Jesus Christ and what God says about him and how God has accepted us in Jesus. And then we're able to love our enemies and love them when they speak evil of us. And we are able to forgive them and speak well of them and even pray for them so that they may be blessed. And that runs so contrary to our nature that we need to constantly be grounded and reminded again and again of the blessing that God gave to us when we insulted him. The blessing that he gave to us when we did evil to him, and yet he showed us great mercy. When he showed us great compassion. When he showed us great love and how he brought us into his marvelous light. And so although it may be difficult to bless others when they speak evil, we can do so by remembering how our Heavenly Father responded to us when we spoke evil against him. And when we remember this, we are to do, as Peter says in verses 10 and 11, You know, here he's quoting Psalm 34, and Psalm 34 is just a psalm by King David of Israel. And King David's just praising God for how God has delivered him and protected him from the king of Gath. And so the king of Gath had heard about David, and so he wanted David brought to him because he wanted to kill David. And when David came into the presence of the king of Gath, David acted like a crazy man. And so the king of Gath pushed David out and said, "Get him out of my presence." So David then just sings this song praising God of how God protected him. And then in the middle of the psalm, he starts to teach us how to fear the Lord. And Peter is taking this and saying that we need to fear God and use words of blessings to others because of how God has rescued us from danger. From a danger where we would spend an eternity in hell with God. And so the way in which we use words of blessing is by keeping a check on our mouths. You know, and making sure our words aren't evil and they're not talking deceitfully. That's what Peter says here. He says, keep your tongue from evil and keep your lips from deceitful speech. We need to be careful that we're not misleading people. And we need to especially be careful that we are not misleading people to think bad things about other people. You know what I mean? Where we're talking bad about somebody else, and that's convincing this other person to think this guy is a bad guy. Or this girl is a bad girl. So Peter's saying, don't do that. He's saying, turn away from any desire to do evil to others. But rather, he says, seek peace and pursue it. He's saying, strive for it. Work hard to have a peace with others. And we do this by forgiving others. We forgive others with the same forgiveness that God has already forgiven us when they hurt us. And then we don't just forgive them, but we actually bless them with our time. We bless them with our energy. We bless them materially. Just as God has forgiven us, and then he didn't just forgive us to let us ride out in life, but he forgave us, and then he blessed us. He blessed us with things that we did not deserve, with a grace that we don't deserve. And so we need to begin to think about the things that we have so that we can leverage those things to bless other people even when they insult us and when they persecute us. That's why over the next couple of months in our missional communities, we're going to start to talk about how can we serve our community. Because God has given us this time, and he's given us this money, and he's given us these other things. How can we use that to serve our community, to bless our community? You know, I heard one pastor in Seattle, he gathered his missional community together, and he just said, let's make a list of all of the things that God has blessed us with. And so they took a long time. They just wrote down everything that they could think about that God has blessed them with. And he said, now let's use those things to bless other people. That would be an awesome thing for our missional communities to do sometime in the next few weeks. Because that would help us to realize that every item I own and every minute I have and every skill I possess and every dollar in my bank account is ultimately given by God. And it's given by God so that I then can bless others so that they may know God. They may know the God of blessing that we serve. Now let's look at the last part of Peter's point. That we've been blessed to be a blessing in order to obtain a blessing. Let's look at verse 9 again. Peter says here that we were called to bless others when they insult us in order to obtain a blessing. Now, this blessing is twofold, right? You know, it's a blessing that we can experience now and also a blessing that we will experience for all of eternity if we believe in Jesus Christ. You know, all throughout the book, Peter's been talking about the blessing that we have in Jesus Christ, that we have a hope, that we have an inheritance, that we have eternal life. And now he gets to verse 10 and he says that we're going to have good days if we bless others. Now, I think that Peter has a good grasp of reality here. Meaning he understands the culture. He understands that Christians are experiencing pain for living for Jesus Christ. So he doesn't mean that your life is going to be rosy for living for God, but rather that you will have a deep kind of joy that only God gives if you bless others. You know, maybe he saw the kind of joy that that Jesus had when people insulted Jesus. Or as theologian Ed Clowney points out, maybe he had talked with his friend Silas. You know, in chapter 5, verse 12, it says that Silas actually wrote this letter. Peter told Silas what to write. And maybe Peter had talked with Silas and learned about the joy that Silas had when Silas and Paul were in the Philippian jail at midnight, hanging in shackles, singing praises to God. And maybe he had heard the kind of joy that Silas had had. And maybe Peter had experienced this kind of joy for himself. But either way, Peter knows that life won't get easier. But if you bless, life will get better because you'll be filled with the joy of the Lord. He's not saying life's going to get easier. He's just saying that as we bless, we're going to be filled with the joy of the Lord. And so that's where Peter finally tells us that the way to obtain this blessing is that we're a family that must have our eyes on the face of blessing. The way we get this blessing is that we're a family that must have our eyes on the face of blessing. Notice in verse 12, it says that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. You know, in the Old Testament, the face of God was a sign of whether he favored you or not. And so if his face shined upon you, you had God's favor. But if his face was turned away from you, you had no favor from God. And so Peter is saying that if his face is shining upon you, that if his eyes are open to you, he is favoring you. You're in a right relationship with God and you're experiencing his goodness upon your life. That's because you're following the ways of God, that your eyes were opened to follow the ways of God. But if his face was turned, but if his face is turned away from you, it's meaning that the goodness and grace from God is away from you because you're not following his ways. So Peter is telling us here with the placement of this psalm that the ultimate blessing that we get is that we get to see God's face. That God's face and his favor is upon us, and that in the end, ultimately, we will see God face to face. So Peter is saying that we must live for that. That's why we bless. It's because ultimately, the blessing we will receive is that God's eyes are on us, his ears are attentive to our prayers, and that we will see him face to face. That we will see the God that gives us comfort in the midst of our suffering. That we will see the God that gives us ultimate blessing and eternal life. That we're going to see the face of blessing, the one who has given us such a great inheritance and such a great hope that Peter's been talking about. That we're going to see the glorious face of the one in whom all the blessings in the world flow from. And the one who should receive all praise because of the blessings that we have received. And Peter's saying that's the one that we should ultimately long for. We should long to be with the God of blessing and to enjoy him forever. And Peter is essentially saying, set your eyes on this God of blessing. Long for him and understand that understand the blessing that he has already given you and give that blessing to others, so that you may experience more of God in this blessing. Because what happens when you die? You can't take none of it with you, can you? You can't keep any of it with you. You know, when John Rockefeller died, he's a big oil tycoon in New York, and when he died, someone asked his accountant, how much money did he leave? And his accountant wisely said, all of it. He said all of it because he realized that it doesn't matter how much he left. When he died, he didn't take any of it with him. You can't take any of God's material possessions with you, but you can certainly use them now and use them and leverage them now to bless those who insult you, to bless those who say evil about you, so they may know Jesus Christ and spend eternity with you in the presence of God, seeing the face of God forever. So, church, let me ask you, how do you respond when people insult you? When people say evil to you? Do you bless them? Or do you return evil for evil? Let's pray. Father, it's so much a part of our nature to return evil for evil. It's so much what we want. We long for justice. And as we talked a few weeks back, we want justice for others, but we don't want that same justice for us. And so we are blinded to the justice that we deserve. And we're blinded to the blessing that you've given us in Jesus Christ. And so I ask that you'd open up our eyes to see that we have been given, as Paul writes, an immeasurable, something that we can't measure, amount of grace. And as the psalmist says, that your mercies are new every morning. So we're getting this amazing amount of grace and mercy every day. And help us to see that. And help that to trigger our hearts to want to give that blessing to others, even when they don't deserve it. Because we realize that we don't deserve any grace from you whatsoever. We thank you for the grace that you have given us. We praise you for that. We ask that your Holy Spirit would now take the truths of this passage and push them deep down in our hearts so that as we leave here this morning, we will live this out throughout the week. In your name, amen.